Welcome back to If the LGBTQ Community Wasn't So Loud, Would the Church Still Be Silent? My name is Taisha Holt, and I express the gospel in a way that brings truth to the LGBTQ community and equip the church on how to effectively reach those influenced by the practice. This is part two of episode 5, Understanding the Impact of Sameness. I know I left you all with a huge nugget at the end of part one when I said the person in homosexuality that feels disconnected from their identity, how their homosexual behavior starts out as envy first, then later grows into a very depraved attraction that leads a person to date the version of themselves they see in another person because they feel they could never fully amount to the characteristics they see in that person of the same gender. I know it can be hard to understand because we are not used to looking at the LGBTQ community through a spiritual lens. The person that really battles with identity issues, they become sexually attracted to the characteristics in the same gender they lack within themselves because they grow to believe certain characteristics in a person is the only thing that make up the male and female identity. So when you see a same-sex couple, you are witnessing the impact of same-sex envy and self-hate that has graduated to a very depraved attraction. When a person gets involved in a same-sex relationship, they eventually become very chemically and emotionally imbalanced due to the mental shift that has to take place in order to survive in an unnatural impact of sameness. That's why you can know a person before they enter into the lifestyle, then feel like you have to relearn that person because it seems so much about them has changed, you can barely recognize the person they used to be before the impact of sameness took place. This impact brings on an unnatural balance in a relationship that has no mystery. Their relationship is now based off them finding ways to create natural experiences they long to have in their same-sex relationship. See, God has put a mystery between a man and a woman in a natural relationship. That's why you'll often hear men and women mention the things they don't understand about each other no matter how long they've been in a relationship. That's because there's a beautiful mystery in a male and female relationship. In a same-sex relationship, they are trying to recreate this mystery that lies between having a natural masculine and feminine presence in a relationship. This dynamic creates friction, and where there is friction, there is toxicity. Not only in their same-sex relationship, but also on a spiritual level. They want to fit the image God created for a relationship, but remove the mystery in the relationship. The mystery between a man and woman leaves room for faith. You don't need faith when you are the same, because you share similar emotions, similar traits, similar instincts, similar sex drives. You have similar ways you interact with each other. There is no mystery in the impact of sameness, and God desires for a man and woman to be in a relationship so you can seek His guidance to grow and find comfort in those differences as opposed to finding comfort in similarities. In Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about how in a relationship between a man and a woman is like the greatest mystery. It's like a shadow of God in the church. Homosexuality is one of the most entertaining lifestyles to live that offers you everything aside from love and truth. That's why the church should always approach that imaginary line we talked about in part one with love and truth, because that's the two main things they are missing within the LGBTQ community. Now let's explore a little deeper the spiritual nature behind how same-sex envy impacts a same-sex relationship. In most same-sex relationships, you'll have one person in the relationship that feels very detached from their identity and defines themselves by their same-sex relationship. Then you'll have another person that is very attached to their identity but have grown to be entertained by their same-sex relationship. When the person that feels detached from their identity becomes sexually active with someone of the same sex, they assume this act will give them the connection they've been searching for within themselves. When they recognize they still have this disconnect, the envy they had before they got into the same-sex relationship starts to take on a different approach because they are constantly living in a self-conscious mental state trying to make sense of how other people, especially their same-sex partner, is able to be so connected to their identity when they feel so detached from theirs, even in their same-sex relationship. This is why the agenda of the LGBTQ community represents redefining identity in so many different ways, because it's a never-ending search for them to find that connection to themselves they still haven't found in the community they have created, no matter how much they've changed about themselves or how many relationships they have been in. So, aside from the emotional torment of feeling disconnected from your identity and developing a same-sex attraction, when you start to practice homosexuality, feeling disconnected from your identity and carrying an envy that you may not be aware of, it becomes a constant power struggle because you live in a subconscious state of mind, always observing how others embrace their biological identity, and it's a constant reminder how you still haven't found connection to yours. Even calling yourself gay or identifying as gay becomes a mental problem. See, at first, coming out can make you feel very proud. But after you continue to have to say you're gay, it becomes an annoyance because it's another reminder that you are not living a natural life and you always have to explain the nature of your lifestyle, which is why people go to the extremes of having surgeries and doing things to get closer and closer to not having to explain so much about their lifestyle. But that's a whole nother episode. Let me get back on track here. People that really struggle with identity don't see themselves how most people see themselves. How other people look, they don't feel like that on the inside. And this creates a secret jealousy and longing to find that connection they see that others have within themselves. This forces them into a mental state to start competing with those that are walking and fully embracing their biological gender. Let me explain how this type of jealousy builds so much envy and how it impacts sameness in the gender roles in a same-sex relationship. This is something I observed during my 13 years in homosexuality. Remember, there is always an unclean mental shift taking place in a person daily to survive and navigate being gay. Each role a person plays in homosexuality will expose what area of their life they are crying out for help in the most. We've just been reading all the signs wrong. The girl that's acting like a man secretly wants a man to love her past her insecurities. In the meantime, she will take on the role to try to become a better version of him. People within the LGBTQ community are not blinded from the truth. They just train themselves daily to suppress it. For example, a man that identifies as trans will admit his biological gender when they start to date a man that's only been with women. During a breakup, they will say things like, "That's why you sleep with men, because you never met a woman like me," or "A woman can't do it like me." Or you will hear a girl that identifies as trans or a stud say she is the worst enemy to the baby father of the woman she is dating, because he let a girl pretending to be a boy beat him at his own identity. They take pride. People within the LGBTQ community take pride in their biological gender if it's an attempt to compete or shame those that are walking in their biological role. It's a very unnatural form of jealousy that each person carries towards the gender they are portraying to be, but afraid to admit they actually admire and have a desire to be in a relationship with, because they don't know how to go by it in the right way. In the minds of many people within the LGBTQ community, they live by this secret code in a form of a question that sounds like this. Who can model a relationship better in this world? A man and woman, how God designed, are those within the LGBTQ community. Their life is based off them proving God wrong, and their mission is to deceive us in the process. See, this type of jealousy runs deep. It brings forth the most popular game when understanding the spiritual nature behind homosexuality and the impact of sameness. This game is called welcomed manipulation. You can't be gay without taking on some type of role in welcoming manipulation or being manipulated. That's the nature of this lifestyle. They want you to believe what they tell you, not what you see. And when a person takes on a role to not live a natural life the way God designed and chooses to live an unnatural life pretending they are the experts of gender identity and relationships, It creates a huge problem in the spiritual realm because they are pretending to be something they are not. And if you fake something long enough, something real, unnatural will get a hold of you that a letter from a false collection of identities cannot pull you away from. Manipulation in this community is why you hear so many oxymorons that keep you from fully understanding the real agenda. Like when you hear a girl that dresses like a boy say, "I don't want to be a boy, I just dress like one." She's in a secret competition that's covered in jealousy, ready to manipulate you by the characteristics she displays. Or you will hear a man say, "I know I'm not a girl, I just like dressing up like one, and I don't want to be a girl." He is in a secret competition that's covered in jealousy, ready to manipulate you by the characteristic he displays. Now, they have grown to believe they represent the gender they are portraying better than those that are actually in their biological roles. That's why people within the LGBTQ community won't admit that they really want to be the gender they are trying so hard to resemble, because secretly they believe they have become better versions of that gender. In them doing this, they continue to manipulate you to believe they have found a new identity in one of the letters they have invented, when they are fully aware within the community that gender don't change. They know you can't create a new identity, but they make you believe they have, because if they don't manipulate someone in some way, they have to step outside of their role of manipulation to admit this whole movement is about jealousy and envy of those who flow so well in their biological identity and how they don't know how to find the connection to theirs. And guess what, people? We are falling right into their agenda, where people that are not involved in homosexuality play a huge role in building the LGBTQ community. You see more men respecting and treating girls, especially their daughters, like a boy if she reminds him of his male characteristics. And the same goes for women. They will respect and treat a male like a woman if he displays most of the female characteristics. That's why we have to understand the spiritual nature behind the practice. If not, we will continue to grow to only understand the lifestyle they present to us based off the false, made-up, invented identities that really don't exist outside of their depraved mindsets. So far on this episode, we've touched on sameness, envy, jealousy, gender roles, and manipulation. Now I want to share with you what it's like to have a depraved mindset living an unnatural, sexually active homosexual lifestyle. See, after sex, there is no mystery. There is no surprises, but what has become very common in the LGBTQ community, people are not afraid of contracting AIDS or HIV. It seems that AIDS have become more accepting as a part of the lifestyle, aside from steering people away from it. Now, when I say there is no surprises after sex or no mystery, what I mean by that is there is nothing to expect after sex. You don't expect to produce a baby or have a pregnancy scare. They cannot produce, but the thought of reproducing is always there. And they are fully aware of this thought, and they understand that it could never be fulfilled anytime they are together. Having this thought leads them to pulling something that's natural into their unnatural world. I hope you can see how there is always a constant reminder of how their same-sex relationship is unnatural, but they always find a way to make it feel natural. This is where adoption comes in. Are them finding a male to impregnate the woman, or a surrogate to carry the baby for two males, so they can model the nature of what they could never create together? See, they understand the order of a man and a woman when it benefits their agenda, or when it's time to compete or mock the nature of a natural couple. They are fully aware of what they do. They just choose daily to suppress truth by their wicked behavior. It's a very demonic movement that's covered in cute names and bright colors to deceive us to believe we are missing something. As I come to a close, I want to share with you a true story about myself and a personal experience I was involved in during the time I practiced homosexuality. Homosexuality is so scary looking back, because where there is no mystery in a relationship and you are the same, you have to create these false narratives that you become emotionally attached to that feels so real. I want you to understand when a person is not pulling from a natural place, you have to pull from an unnatural place. And anything that is not natural, it is not of God, and it is very demon possessed. I want you to understand what unnatural sexual intimacy is like in a same-sex relationship. For a man to be sexually active with another man, there's a lot of preparation that goes into that. Some preparation involves days without eating before you can be intimate with your partner. Some involves putting yourself in a very painful position in order to feel pleasure. You have to be trained on how to encounter pain and lots of mutilation during a time that is supposed to bring you together as one, but you cannot do that because you are both the same. So you mentally prepare yourself to adjust to the pain of an unnatural experience, forcing yourself to think natural thoughts about it. I'm not going to go too deep in that area, but I am going to share with you a true story of a woman I was involved with sexually for many years and the effect of this type of coming together it had on her. After 7 years of being saved, I was able to go back to several women I was once in relationship with to understand their side of our homosexual relationship, ask for forgiveness for my actions in the past, and offer them closure if they needed it. One girl in particular shared with me how she could no longer have children. She shared with me after visiting her doctor, the strap that we used in the bedroom did not curve to her natural body and caused permanent damage to her insides, where she could no longer have children. As the conversation got deeper, I was saddened, and I asked her if every time I put on a strap wasn't pleasurable for her, why did she continue to let this type of intimacy happen? And her exact words were, "I would never forget." This was her response to why she endured this type of sexual activity. She said, "I knew you needed it to be who you thought you were." Remember, people, each person goes through their own process of a mental shift depending on the role they are playing. Then I asked her, "Did she ever see me as a real boy?" And she said, "No, I always saw you as a girl, but I knew I had to treat you like a boy and address you as such because that's who you thought you were." These are not conversations that you have in the LGBTQ community. Each person just begins to adjust to the unclean spirits they're surrounded by to fit into the lifestyle. She was creating this false sense of reality for me to feel like a boy in the relationship. And in the relationship, I thought she was just as confused as I was and thought I was a boy trapped in a girl body. And the whole time, her mental shift caused her to manipulate me to believe a lie I presented to her in order for us to come together. The impact of sameness. People, you may think you know what homosexuality is, but we have so much to learn, and I'm going to try to dissect every piece of this spirit in every episode. When I chose my strap size and began to become sexually active with any woman, I could not feel pleasure from something that wasn't naturally connected to my body. And because I was pretending to be a boy, wanting to have a sexual intimate encounter with a woman, I had to pull from a very, very unnatural place in order for me to create this natural reality to make myself believe a piece of me was going inside of her. And every single woman that I was in a relationship with, I had to mentally take myself to this brutally, aggressively, forcefully state of mind and pretend I was raping them in order to reach a place where I could feel pleasure, like I thought a real boy would. I was attaching something unnatural to my body, trying to create a natural feeling, and I had no idea how many people I was damaging along the way, especially her. But we each continued to play our role in this false sense we created to make our natural relationship feel natural. Everybody may not have gone to the extremes I did to feel sexual pleasure, or the extremes I took to find connection to my identity. But each person in a same-sex relationship is pulling from a very unnatural place, playing a role in order to connect with each person they are sexually active with. So please keep that in mind. There is not one thing that is natural about a same-sex relationship. That's why so much has to change about a person or be explained about a person when they choose to step into the practice. Now that you got a glimpse into the impact of sameness, I encourage you to pray and listen to part 1 and 2 and ask the Lord to reveal it even more to you as he did to me, so you could see the spiritual nature behind the practice of how dangerous the impact of sameness really is. And until the next episode, I want you to ask yourself, if the LGBTQ community wasn't so loud, would the church still be silent?